Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
Good morning. It is Tuesday. It is the 2nd of May. It is Viewpoint Talk Radio Euro's current affairs programme where we discuss the issues of the day with a panel of studio guests. On today's show, we're going to be speaking about the UK elections, the French elections, the 100 days of Trump. Internet companies, do they have a moral obligation to be policing their sites? And of course, the latest between the ongoing situation between the UK and the EU as they debate hard Brexit, soft Brexit, who knows what Brexit. If you want to get involved with the show, 952-784-4000 is the phone number. Studio at talkradioeurope.com is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe. I am joined in the studio by former ABC correspondent Nathan Thomas. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning, Giles.
Telegraph journalist Kate Mulvey joins us for the first time on Viewpoint. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
And back with a vengeance, Sutter Guarantee businessman Alistair Lee. Good to have you with us, Alistair.
Good morning.
So we'll start with the topic that's been on everybody's lips, basically, since a very interesting meeting, I think, we'd find last Wednesday. The EU, Mr. Juncker, Herr Juncker, sat down at number 10, having a working lunch, if you like, with Theresa May and members of the British government. It seems to be a tale of two lunches. Nathan, just elaborate a little bit, please.
Well, if you read the different reports in various media, it sounds like they were at two different lunches, not having one together. I mean, the British had come out and said one thing, and Juncker, which someone, whether it was he or whether it was someone else who was in the room, what they told German media sounds like, you know, they were in two different places talking to two different people. So I think what you have here is, prior to any real negotiations starting, you have both sides catering to the public because the public wants to know what's going on, so they tell them something. And what they tell them today is not necessarily what they're going to tell them tomorrow, but it's keep feeding the beast, and they do that. And how much any of this will have to do with actual negotiations when the real negotiators sit down and start talking about this, we don't know, but it just, you know, goes on and on and on, and the public demands to know what's going on. So the various leaders tell them something, spinning whatever they want in the direction they want, hoping to gain public support for whatever their ideas are. And there you have it.
I mean, Theresa May called for talks, trade talks to be the first thing to be happening before there's any talk about a hard Brexit. And there were talks. I mean, Jean-Claude Juncker spoke to Angela Merkel and said apparently that Theresa May was living in a different galaxy, a parallel universe. Alistair, you're very much a Brexit man. What does this, is this helping to underline what you thought the EU was going to do?
Yeah, it's what they're going to do is they're going to try and split the UK. They're going to make sure that the individuals who are going to be asking for another vote for another referendum have a clear voice. Blair has decided to throw his hat back into the ring, so that will be interesting. Whether or not, and there's going to be a lot of stags stamping their feet and pre-negotiation harumphing and putting different ludicrous points of view forward. For instance, we have to pay $50 billion before talks can even start, and they're going to separate the different parts of negotiation and insist that certain parts need to be dealt with before others. And lots of recriminations and insults thrown around the table. But eventually, after everyone calms down, the real talking will be done. There'll be lots of titbits thrown out to the media. Of course, we've got 27 different countries with their own intelligence services, making sure that individual country leaders are kept abreast of all the negotiations. The unelected presidents and commission will be having their own talks. The parliament think that they're going to have a say. It's disparate. It's confused. It's very unlikely that any progress will be made, probably until the last quarter of the 2 years are up.
I mean, Juncker said that May's approach would lead to an early crash with Britain leaving the EU without any sort of deal. At the meeting itself, apparently they pulled out a trade deal they'd done with, I think it was Canada, which was 2,000 pages long and had taken them the best part of a decade. Theresa May seems to think that they can be finishing this deal and tie it up over a series of meetings. Kate, have you got any thoughts on this?
This is basically power politics at its best. It's unprecedented. It's never happened before. And I think what we're seeing is Europe taking a very aggressive stance. I mean, they say that when Theresa May said, let us make this a success, and he said it can't be a success. He doesn't know that. This is really psychological warfare. And as they both said, it hasn't really... Once the negotiations get underway, you have to remember that we can play the same... It cuts both ways. We can put imports on goods. They can do the same. They will have to relax their stance. What they're doing is they're doing intimidation tactics, which is obviously... Theresa May didn't expect it, which is unfortunate. And one of the problems is they say they're showing a united front. Maybe all the other countries are scared. Germany's bullied them. Unfortunately, we had a lot of Remainers, I call them, trying to derail the bill. We had the amendment going that we had the House of Lords, which is unfortunate because it seemingly gave as if we didn't have a unified stance. And I think what politicians are now saying is we will put our trust in Theresa May, and one of the most important things is she must be prepared to walk away with no deal.
Prepared to walk away with no deal, Nathan.
Contingency plan.
Well, the contingency plan is just walk away with no deal. But there's an awful lot of people in the UK who say that is not a good deal at all, and they are totally against that. But when you get to the bottom line, the only option the UK has, if negotiations are not going the way they want, it gets down to bottom line negotiating leverage. You have two choices. If the negotiations are not going the way the UK likes, well, we can either walk away and we're an independent country, we can do whatever we want, or you can stay in the EU.
But we've decided not to. And isn't what Merkel is doing is trying to make an example of Britain because they are scared other countries will follow suit.
Exactly right.
So, therefore, the idea of no deal is you don't go into negotiations scared. If they think that they can psychologically bully Theresa May, they will do so.
Alistair.
One of the problems is they are likely to cut off their nose to spite their face.
Yeah.
They're extremely worried.
This is the EU you're talking about.
The EU. They're extremely worried that the whole bloc is going to collapse. And I think it will.
Absolutely.
It's almost without a doubt that it will collapse.
You think?
The Greek people have been sacrificed purely to maintain this federal dream of an unelected dictatorship, which is what the EU
is.
An
ideology.
Yeah.
We've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Sharon Alicante.
Morning, Sharon.
Good morning. We have a bit of an imbalance on the panel this morning. We don't seem to have any Remainers. And I think you Brexiteers are just as aggressive. And don't you have a duty? Oh, Alex Anstey, you said they're trying to divide the UK. The UK has been divided ever since the referendum and probably before. The EU isn't trying to divide the UK. The UK has done that for themselves. And I just think, I forgot what I was going to say now, but I just think you have a duty as Brexiteers to try to unify the country by refraining from calling people like me Remainers, because you have a duty to help unify the country that you have also divided, people like Johnson, Farage. But do you not see that by continuing to slag off the other side, you're not helping the situation? And as I understand it, there were some threats made to the EU over the Downing Street dinner. She was threatening to become a tax haven. Well, that's fine. She can go ahead and do that. But she won't break up. The EU may change. The euro may go. Le Pen may get in. But don't forget, Le Pen's only offering a referendum. She's not... She's not saying she's definitely going to pull them out of the EU. And I very much doubt whether the French people would vote to come out of the EU. So let's just think about it in detail. And please try and refrain from name-calling. It doesn't help, and it makes you look rather unintelligent.
Sharon, thanks for that. There we are. As Theresa May was saying over Easter, you know, the country must come together, unify behind her for the future coming election. Nathan?
I think that's very true. You've got to decide on something, and the UK can't. Now, the EU in the past week, there were, aside from that meeting, there were meetings of various EU leaders, and they seem to have come out with a policy of, you know, here's what we want, and it's all 27 nations. Now, again, you're going to find people in every country who don't like this, that, or the other thing, but as far as the 27 countries, they are not fighting each other openly and seriously about what their negotiation idea is as far as the EU, while the UK, it's all over the place.
The point is, it isn't Brexit that broke up the country. A referendum was held. The people spoke. It is the people's will. Now, the Remainers, at the beginning, it was them that have tried in so many occasions and ways to thwart the will of the people. No, hang on. And therefore, it is not UK that is divided and all over the place. The EU have come up with an unbelievably unreasonable set of demands, which, of course, they meant to do. Yeah. And the UK is not divided about it. It's that those Remainers who have accepted, most politicians have now, they have accepted, this is how it will be. We must be unified to get the best deal. Any of the others, those are the ones who are...
952-78-4000 if you want to come back on any of the above points, or studio@talkradioeurope.com is the email. Nathan?
The one thing with the UK is they don't seem to be able to agree among themselves what is the best deal. And this is the problem. Now, again, this may all just be publicity and public relations and everything. The people who are actually doing the negotiating may indeed be going into that, and we know what we want. We're just not telling anybody.
Case, we're keeping. They say that about Therese. She's keeping her hand close to her. She's not showing.
Yes, but and of course, in any negotiation, that's true. But is the country going to be satisfied with what Theresa May has decided should be done? And they're not going to know until negotiations really start. But publicly, certainly at this point, the UK does appear to be very divided with people who have not, in a democracy, yes, in a perfect democracy, you have a vote and the people who lost sit down and shut up and let the people who won do what they said they were going to do. And that's not happening.
And we've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning to you. Can I just say to you, lady panelists, that when people refer to the people of Britain, the people of Britain is 50-odd million people, or maybe near 60 million now. What she should say is 48% of the people voted against it, and 3.something% voted for. So it's not the people of Britain. It's a section of the people, by a very small division, really, when you think of the numbers. But I was aware this is only a point of interest for what you want to make of it. I had dinner last night with five friends of mine from Wales who came out for my birthday a couple of days ago. And we were chatting away, and they were all firm and positive leavers. You know, they were Brexit people. And every one of them, we discussed it last night. There's only a point of it. Every one of them last night said, if I had a chance over again, I'd vote against it, because things are not working out well, in my opinion, Giles. You know, there seems to be this very hard Brexit. And I think the number of times that they talk about the hard Brexit in the UK and some of the unappeasing things that they say, I honestly believe that the European and now the people who are involved, whether they're elected or they're not elected, they're the people going to be doing the job. And I think they're fed up with it all, and they're going to make it rather difficult for us.
Bro, thanks for that. Nathan, you want to come back on the point?
This is what John just said was exactly the idea. It was 48% to 52%. All right, fine. But somebody won and somebody lost. And in a democracy, the idea is that if you lost, you let the people who won do what they think is best. That obviously is not happening in the UK, and it stays divided, and it is 48% to 52%. You're talking about a very equal division. The country is pretty much split down the middle, and as long as they keep fighting themselves, How are they going to go fight the EU?
Shouldn't we get? We should have got past this idea. About the Remainers, who are, you know, if we had our chance again, everybody says the Brexit people mm-hmm. will vote again. There is a continuation that they are right. And the point about the will of the people is, as you say, whether it doesn't matter the percentage, the vote was cast. We need to move. That was, you know, last year. We need to move away from that. That's it. It's done. It's over. We need to be unified about that.
Except there are a large number of people who don't agree and are not going to.
As is always the case in everything.
The more the EU bully and the more they're intransigent and the more they're rude and aggressive towards the people of the United Kingdom, the more the people of the United Kingdom will thank God that we've left the federal EU.
Absolutely. I agree. One of the things I wanted to mention was British fair play.
Right, we've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning. My name's Terry. I'm phoning from Altea.
Good morning, Terry.
I've got 3 points. Firstly, Theresa May is our elected representative at a very large game of poker. And as such, she will have to bluff and double bluff and use all her skills to get the best result. That can only be achieved by never declaring that you were giving. You have to say you will walk away from the table. You have to make that point. And secondly, you do not give in to the media who are championing the bit that you show all your cards, because we all need to know these things. You show all your cards to the public before you sit at the table, which is complete suicide. Leave the woman alone. Let her get on with it. Let her do the job that she's being paid to do. Secondly, if you have people like Sharon who are phoning up about a divided Britain, she is the very epitome of what causes a divided Britain by using the word we and you. We, whichever her group she belongs to, and you, whichever your group belongs to. We're not a we or a you. We're a democratic country who had a vote. Thirdly, the vote that was taken was won by one side or the other. Tantamount to a football match, shall we say. Now, let's say the winning goal was scored in extra time. Maybe you can look at it that way. Either way, the result stands. You don't get the papers the next day, let's change the result because they didn't win by much. They only won by one goal. Let's change the result. They're not the champions of this or that or the other. They haven't picked up the league title or whatever. You just don't do that. So let the woman get on with it. Stop dividing Britain. Stop the press from dividing Britain more than anything, and people like Sharon who add fuel to the fire, and let the woman get on with the job.
And you certainly don't do that when you're talking about the sovereignty and independence of a country.
And we've got another caller on another line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Costa-Blanca.
Morning, Kate.
Right. Coming in to first defend Sharon, she said what I would have said had she not got in first. She has not been divisive. Unfortunately, the panel, or rather your latest member, the female, is Kate.
Otherwise known as Kate, yes, Kate Mulvey.
That's going to make that easy. Anyway, the tone was very aggressive. Her tone was very aggressive. If she plays it again later, she'll see what I mean. It was sort of highly militant, I think.
Enthusiastic, shall we say. Can we say it's enthusiastic?
That wouldn't be the adjective I chose. Okay. Getting back to the point.
Yes.
The tone of this debate on the referendum has been slightly more divisive. And, listen again for the first few minutes. Secondly, the will of the people, which is always a very disturbing kind of phrase. Now, one of the bits of the people, we, the expats who lived away from the United Kingdom for more than 15 years, were deliberately excluded. And that was what the new Minister for the Constitution said when he took up appointment after, appointed by Theresa May. Now, that is very interesting because probably the most of the excluded expats would have voted the other way.
Indeed.
For the remaining.
But many will argue that if you're an expat, you shouldn't have a say in what's going on in the UK.
No taxation without representation.
Indeed.
A proportion of expats are paying tax in the UK on their pensions.
Kate, Thank you.
There's
one more point. Okay.
Show the cards. This is the last corner before me. She shouldn't show her cards. I think the panel doesn't seem to realise that she hasn't got any cards.
She has no cards.
Shall I leave that?
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
You're listening to A Lively Viewpoint with me, Giles Brown. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at talkradioeurope.com is the email. We've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. Thank you for holding. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning. My name is Meyer, and I'm calling you from Marbella.
Good morning, Meyer. What is your viewpoint, please?
Right. A lot of your callers have been phoning in today have been commenting that Theresa May doesn't hold any cards. Well, I would argue that point. In essence, you've got 27 nations who appear at this moment in time to be united. But wait a little bit. They've all got their self-interests. I mean, Spain exports a phenomenal quantity of fruit and vegetable to the UK. France exports, I think, most of the UK is the largest importer of French champagne, huge quantities of wines, German vehicles into the UK. I think we're the fourth largest buyer in the world of German vehicles. If we don't reach an agreement, which is quite possible, we will go to WTO rules. If we go to WTO rules, who exports most? Europe exports most to the UK. Therefore, we will be the net gainers because we will be collecting all these tariffs. And it won't be long until the manufacturers in those countries start to protest to their governments to say, well, we can't sell to the UK because they're not buying our products because they're too expensive. And we've now started to buy products. We're buying our lamb from New Zealand, our butter from New Zealand, our avocados from Peru, and so on and so forth, and not actually dealing at the same level with Europe. So we're going to be the net gainers in terms of any tariffs if we have to go to WTO rules, and they all know that. So I think it's ridiculous for Barnier and the other fellow, the drunkard, to constantly be banging on about we want this, we want that, before we're prepared to negotiate anything. I think they're the ones that are being foolish. I think we hold all the cards and they don't.
We hold all the cards and they don't. Thank you very much for your call in for the first time. We've got another caller on the line. Good morning, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint?
Well, it's John from Angela Thongbury's...
Yes, John. Good morning to you.
Good morning. The chap said a lot what I was going to say. We actually do import $360 billion.
John, I'm very sorry, John. I just cut you off by mistake there. I'm very sorry about that. John, please call back in. A small problem with that. Mi culpa. We've got another caller on the line, though. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE.
Morning, Giles. It's Dave.
Morning, Dave.
I just think it's hilarious watching what's unfolding. The EU appears to be totally unprepared. I don't see any disarray amongst the 27 remaining members of the European Union. They've been clear from day one that they will always treat the interests of the remaining 27 first, so that the UK will be a third country. And that is what they've done. I see no variance in what they've first done. I agree that the UK has to follow the vote. That's what they set out. The vote itself, I think personally, was very, very poorly organised, with a straight 50-50 split, with no idea as to what sort of Brexit should be organised afterwards, whether it is hard, soft, or red, white and blue, or a pink, white and green. There was nowhere near enough details so people knew what they were actually voting for. But to the people who want to leave, you voted. It is now time for the people that wanted to leave to take responsibility and stop blaming the EU for their own lack of policy. The two-year period ends on March 29th, 2019. The last 6 months of that, there won't be any negotiation. That's already been set aside for ratification by the European Parliament. The UK is currently wasting the next 5 weeks because they've got this election, which will make no difference whatsoever to what the negotiations. Theresa May can have 50 seats, she can have 250 seats. She's still going to meet the conditions of the EU, which were quite well known for several weeks before this past weekend, including the vote, the veto on matters with Gibraltar. I knew about that. That was in the offing last June. And they claimed a couple of weeks ago it was a hidden treaty. It's a comedy of errors. But to finish, it is time for the people who voted to leave to take responsibility. You've got what you want. Be happy with it. Thanks, Giles.
Thanks very much for that, Dave. You've got what you want. Be happy with it. Alistair?
Well, the other major problem that we've got as a country is we don't really know who we should be negotiating with. From the EU's perspective, they know very clearly it's the British government. From our perspective, we don't know if it's this president or that president or one of the five other presidents, or are we going to be negotiating with nation or country leaders, or are we going to be negotiating with the parliament? Who in the commission will eventually be deciding yes or no? We have really, and it's being done on purpose, we have really no idea who exactly are the decision makers. What we do know is that out of the 27 countries, any one of them can veto the whole lot at any stage. And we know they've all got disparate, separate interests. They're not united, although it took them 15 minutes to say that they were. But the whole thing will collapse. Unfortunately, I don't think there will be a deal. I think they will cut off their nose to spite their face, and we will go to WTO.
We've got another caller on the line. Good morning, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Oh, sorry, John from...
John, sorry for cutting you off before.
No problem. I was probably good news. I just wanted to quickly ask the lady there from the Telegraph, is she a current journalist or a former?
I'm a current journalist. Why do you ask that? Hello?
I've been shocked by the lack of journalism from the UK, apart from The Guardian, which would please thing. But what I want to ask you, no doubt you're on Twitter. Do you follow ICIJ or LuxLeaks?
Twitter, actually, and I'm a features journalist. I'm not a news journalist, so whatever's been put out in the press, in news terms, is nothing to do with me. But it doesn't. I don't really see. I don't follow the question.
Well, you're going to like what I say. I follow ICIJ, which is 200 international journalists fighting corruption, and they've won all the big awards from the Panama Papers. But there's something that The Guardian published. The fact was that recently we had two very brave Price Waterhouse accountants who exposed the thousands of sweetheart tax deals under Juncker's command when he was there. And The Guardian, the only newspaper I saw who exposed Juncker's interference and to keep these being published. And incidentally, the two Price Waterhouse whistleblowers were given a jail sentence recently of 6 months suspended for revealing all these sweetheart tax deals have been done. But only the Guardian have revealed it. I'm surprised Kate hasn't commented on it. It shows that Juncker is basically, I don't know why he's still there. He's an absolute damn crook, and he should not be involved in this. And the previous guys have told what I always thought regarding we do import 360 billion of goods. We've got something like 120 billion trade deficit. And I just hope the negotiators are actually looking very strongly at what I think will happen, WTO. And the previous guy explained it. But nobody, if you look up ICIJ and LuxLeaks, you see the scandal of these thousands of multinational corporations doing all these sweetheart tax deals, paying no tax, and Juncker has defended it, and not defended it, he's actually virtually trying to destroy any comments on it within Luxembourg, because mainly Luxembourg.
Thank you very much for that. I just want to have a look, because in an 8-page document outlining the position, the other 27 countries said the EU would prepare itself to be able to handle the situation if the negotiations were to fail. The guidelines also include offering Northern Ireland automatic EU membership should it join the Irish Republic, a move seen as provocative in London, I think, to put it mildly, and giving Spain a veto over Gibraltar's future relationship with the bloc. Alistair, I know you had a thought on that one.
Yeah, I think provocative is minimising it. What they've done is thrown a massive hand grenade into the lot. Dealing with the Irish in such a cavalier attitude, with such a cavalier attitude, is extremely dangerous. Trying to divide the country by offering part of it, by offering perhaps Wales, you can be remain as part of the EU, but they've chosen Ireland because they know it's politically.
You might argue because it's got the border, hasn't it?
Because it's got yeah, but to threaten to split the United Kingdom is just an awful thing for them to do.
Nathan, any comeback on that one?
Well, it's it's public relations and tactics and all of that, which who knows, again, when whoever sits down and gets serious about this, which I don't want to say this isn't serious. It certainly is, and it certainly is serious to everybody. But what is being said now doesn't really mean much of anything.
Reasons we actually left in the first place because of bully boy tactics from Merkel.
Yet.
No, when Cameron went with a list of requests for Britain, he was turned down. And so that is one of the, it's getting back our own sovereignty.
We've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello. In defence of myself, Giles, Sharon Alicante.
Yes, Sharon.
Cameron wasn't turned down. He did get one or two minor things. Okay, he didn't get the big stuff. You know, you have a right to express your opinion, but you do not have a right to give false facts. Now, I'd like to stick up for myself on this, please, to the caller that was... very quickly.
Okay,
I've got other points as well. Asking not to be called names is being divisive, then I'm probably divisive. I was giving an opinion, and I do get the impression that the Brexiteers just wanted to shut us up, and you're not going to. You're not going to shut me up. And somebody else mentioned about Farage, about rudeness, sorry. Who's ruder than Farage? And thank you to Kate as well. Who's ruder than Farage when he goes to Brussels? That is a classic example of rudeness. And if we're talking about exports, Germany exports only 9% of its cars to the UK. And finally, corruption, City of London. Let's just look at it, shall we? We've been party to a lot of the corruption over the last few decades. I suggest that people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Look at the corruption with our MPs' expenses. Look at the House of Lords unelected. Look at a whole load of things in the UK that are corrupt. Football. Please don't throw stones if you're in a glass house. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. Yeah, just to let everybody know, by the way, can we try to avoid callers name-checking other callers? Let's not go down to the you said he said route. But it's viewpoint. You are allowed to express your viewpoints. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. Studio at talkradioeurope.com is the email.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
You're listening to a lively viewpoint with me, Giles Brown, going straight to the phones. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where you're calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. It's Jason. Can you hear me?
Morning, Jason. Can hear you loud and clear.
It's really interesting listening to the people speak. I think their stances are galvanised. You can tell who was a Brexit or a Remainer, and it transcends itself now into the viewpoint. What I would say, whichever camp somebody was in, Europe is making things really difficult. They're using Ireland and Gibraltar to divide and conquer. They're behaving like a tyrant, a dictator almost, like a wolf in sheep's clothing. Do we really, really want to be part of that? Because I think it bodes very bad for the future.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Jason. We've got another caller on the line before I bring an answer again. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning again. This is Maya from Marbella. I just wanted to correct some facts that I've just dug out from the FT regarding the quantity of German motor exports to the UK. According to an article on the 2nd of July 2015 by Chris Bryant in Frankfurt, and Jovan Vaskar in Berlin. This was an article in the FT. German manufacturers fear a British exit from the EU will cause more economic harm than a Greek exit to the single currency. Car makers warned on Thursday Brexit would hit German exports and disrupt international supply chains. About a fifth of all German cars produced in Germany last year were exported. Around 820,000 vehicles were exported to the UK, making it the single biggest destination by volume.
Right. Thank you for that. We're losing you with a line on that one. Going to the email, studio@talkradioeurope.com. Obviously, the emails have been going off here, and we have, it was 52% of the people who voted who wanted Brexit. Don't forget all those disenfranchised by the 15-year rule. We've had this point before. Robbed once again of their vote in the upcoming election, despite manifesto promises. And it is those who will be most affected by this disaster called Brexit. Bob Cohen came in, sorry, Barbara came in with, good morning, I'm beginning to understand that none of you really understand how democracy works. In a democracy, particularly a parliamentary democracy, the opposition, or loser, is expected to call the government winner to account. The job of the opposition is to question the government and to give voice to those citizens who do not support the government. Food for thought. Ray's come in with, firstly, 37% voted to leave and 36% voted to remain. The rest didn't vote at all. However, the entire referendum was decided on the many lies which have since become common knowledge. Many who voted to leave have now said they wish to remain. Now the truth is known, but I've not heard of anyone who voted to remain changing their mind. Now it's the UK has to ask for concessions from the European, and the EU doesn't need to do anything. Once the final conditions of leaving have been agreed, then surely something of this importance needs a vote of the UK population as whether to proceed or cancel it entirely. And finally, Peter's come in saying, Giles, I don't envy you being in the middle of all that. Thank you very much. Studio at talkradioeurope.com is the email. Alistair, WTO rules, you think?
Yeah, I think I think it's what will happen. There is no deal available. You cannot get 27 separate vested interests to agree. But more importantly, they want to keep their federal state together. They know if Britain walks away with a great deal and becomes a huge roaring success, which I believe we will, regardless of what the EU do, it's going to encourage other states to break away from the federal club. They will not allow that to happen. They've gone so far as to maintain the euro, which is obviously destroying the Mediterranean states economically. It's causing huge unemployment. The people, the unelected commission, the people in the European government, which you cannot elect or remove, don't care. Their federal dream takes priority over the suffering of the people. So they certainly won't care about the British people, and they certainly won't care about individual jobs of individual manufacturers and suppliers to Britain if there is no deal. They will protect their federal state way, way beyond any deal with the UK.
What about your thoughts of the fact that the EU want to talk money before they talk any deal with trade, you know, the monies that they say that Britain owes to the EU? And also, where EU citizens now working in the UK stand, that's got to be clarified, surely, before they start talking about any trade deal.
It's standard negotiation tactics to split and divide what you're negotiating about and proclaim we cannot talk about any of this until we agree on this. It's standard negotiating tactics. From our side, we have to say, nope, we are talking about everything together. We're not isolating individual things. So that will be the first crunch of negotiating. We have to stick to it. We have to say, no, we will talk about the whole bed of roses, not one particular rose.
Kate?
What they're doing, I think, is they're testing Britain's resolve. They are bully boy tactics. They want to call all the shots. It's as if they are the government. They are saying, this is what you owe us. But legally, we don't owe them anything. It's contentious. We've, you know, put money into future projects, etc. But that's it. So do they really believe what they're saying? I mean, this is, as I said, power politics. It's a psychological game where they're trying to see how much resolve Theresa May has. And that's why she needs to stand strong. She needs to be able and have a hard line and not show her cards, incidentally.
Right, we've got another caller on the line, as always. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Costablanca. Clarifying that both sides, Theresa May, fairly soon after the results of the referendum, and then someone senior in the EU, said that one of their highest priorities was to, in the negotiations, will be the EU citizens currently in the UK, and us lot, okay? Both sides said that was a high priority early on in the negotiations.
Thank you for...
Giles, can I congratulate you
on
your chairmanship?
You can always congratulate me, Kate. That's never a problem. We've got another call on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on... I will take all the congratulations I can need at this point. You're live on TRE. Who's calling, please? What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. It's Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Morning. One very quick one. If ever I was looking for a one-line statement of why to leave the European Union, Sharon just gave it for why to stay in, and that is we're just as corrupt as they are. So I'll leave you on that one. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Peter. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at talkradioeurope.com is the email. Nathan, you want to come in on a point there?
Well, one thing that kind of stands out is so often people are putting trade as the major negotiating area. I mean, that they can't live without us, and they're saying that, you know, you can't live without them and so on. Trade is not going to stop. Trade is going to continue one way or another. Whether it for a while goes to the WTO rules and then, you know, a deal is done afterwards that is better for both sides, that all happens. But let's face it, we've talked about this before. Trade deals don't happen in an afternoon. Trade deals take years to work out, more years than you've got to do a future trade deal if you're talking about solving this in 2 years. You're not going to have a comprehensive trade deal, you know, in 2 years that the negotiations haven't even started yet, along with all of the other aspects. I mean, so everybody says, well, they need us because their car makers won't allow them to do... That's not going to happen. Trade is going to continue. Some people will be hurt for a while. Some people will do better for a while. But I don't think trade is, as far as all of the aspects of what has to be worked out with the UK leaving Brexit, that trade is going to be, you know, the be-all and end-all of it.
We've got another caller on there. Good morning, caller. Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
It's Ian from NERCA.
Morning, Ian.
Morning. Firstly, I'd like to congratulate you on picking a nice panel. Surely, usually it's all the left-wing tree huggers that you have on.
Left-wing tree huggers, okay, all right.
These seem pretty genuine. My point is, I've lived here 10 years and I was lucky enough to get a vote. I went through all the rigmarole of getting a postal vote and I voted to stay. But I respect the will of the people. And now we should get on with Brexit. Theresa May voted to stay, but she respects the view of the people. Now, all these high people, these people in high places who are voting to remain, surely they're anarchists. An anarchist is someone who goes against the will of the people. So we're out. Let's get on with it.
We're out. Let's get on with it. Ian, thank you for your call in. Have a great day there in NERCA. Tree huggers, Alistair. Have you ever hugged any trees recently?
I love hugging trees, but
I'm sure you do.
On Sharon's point of people calling each other's names and that Farage is the rudest man in the European Parliament, she's absolutely correct. He is extremely rude to them all. When one of the new presidents was elected, he stood up and he said, "Who are you? No one's ever voted for you. Nobody knows your name. You look like a second-grade bank clerk and you have the charisma of a damp rag." And he got fined about €1,000 or something like that. But he tells it as it is. They all hate it when he accuses them of being unelected, irremovable, and a federal dictatorship, and they go nuts.
We've got an email in here at studio@talkradioeurope.com. It's Glynis saying, "I wasn't eligible to vote. I've been here for too long. I would have voted remain, but it went the other way." Somewhat like Ian from NERCA. Isn't it time now for the Bremoners to swallow their sour grapes, accept it, and deal with it? So, as you know, as the Prime Minister had been saying in the UK, it's, you know, the country needs to unite behind the decision has been made, the die has been cast. We have to get on with it and show some British spirit, perhaps.
Well, it is getting on with it. I mean, we are getting closer to actually having negotiations, or whatever you want to call them, start. And then we'll see how it goes. I mean, all of this, like I say, is prelude. It is all, you know, staking out ground, staking out territory, trying to make your point, getting public opinion behind you, all of which is beneficial for either side to be able to do, but not necessarily terribly meaningful. Because
I think Merkel, they are terrified. They are basically making an example of Britain, I think. This is why they're using bully boy tactics. Well, because they are scared other countries may follow suit. I mean,
of course they are. This has been a point from the very beginning.
And
they,
the Remainers, by trying to thwart, and that's what they've been doing with the amendments to the bill, the EU right, the EU citizens, their right to be here was a unilateral thing. Theresa May said, we will give them the right if you give UK citizens the rights. The House of Lords says, no, do the right thing. As if somehow they are the only ones who have a moral argument. But it's wrong, and it's this line that's being taken by Remainers. You're wrong, everybody would have voted the other way, that are still saying, at the end, we should have another referendum. That is what is being divisive and giving the power, I think, to Merkel and the EU.
I can't argue with that at all. I mean, until the UK, and like I say, in the background, down where the people are actually going to be doing this, they may know what they want and what they are willing to give up to get something else and all of this. That may be very clear to them. It is not clear to the public, and as many people have said, it should never be clear to the public.
That's
because
right.
You can't negotiate anything out in the open.
And we've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, I'm Peter from Malaga.
Good morning, Peter.
I would like to make a comment about Northern Ireland.
Please go ahead.
Thank you. All the European Union said was that if and when a majority of people in Northern Ireland want to be part of the Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland will automatically be part of the European Union. It was not a matter of the European Union trying to break up Great Britain. Because it's part of the Good Friday Agreement that a majority of the people in Northern Ireland must agree to be part of the Republic of Ireland before anything can be done. So what has been said by some of the panellists is incorrect.
Peter,
so I'd just like to make that point.
Thank you for that point, Peter. I'm putting us straight on what the EU has said about Northern Ireland.
Well, the one thing to continue with that, and I think he's correct in many ways, because unlike somebody was talking about, what about Scotland or Wales and so on, it's an entirely different thing because Ireland is in the EU. If somebody joins Ireland, and the logical one, if anybody, would be Northern Ireland, they would then be part of a country that is a member in the EU. So it's not hard to understand that their admission to the EU would be automatic. A country that is not in the EU now and becomes independent, say Scotland, as the EU has said, that doesn't make you automatically in. Now, if Scotland somehow became part of Ireland, then I suppose they'd be in. But I mean, again, the chances of that.
The political ramifications of that are two things.
It's how you look at what these people say, and people try to define everything to look best from their point of view. It's spinning everything.
We've got a time to take one more quick call before we go to the news. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Oh, Giles, it's Gray, resident Embratherista de Albolis and left winger.
Good morning, Gray.
I'll be honest with you, I'm sick of hearing the word Remainers, because just because somebody voted to remain doesn't make them a moaner. And in 2020, the Daily Mail, which is the resident Brexit propaganda machine, will read as follows. The country's on its knees. Theresa May says, it was not my idea. I just went along with the will of the people.
Great. Thank you for that. Drive carefully. You sound like you're hands free there. Other newspapers, of course, are available. Right, we're coming up to the first end of the first hour of a highly entertaining, I think you'll say, a viewpoint. And we're back tackling the subjects of internet safety and policing. Don't touch that dial, as they say.